I'm praying that as you learn transformation with me, that it's doing inside of you what it did inside of me. That it began to expose in my life a hidden pride that I was walking in. Not a selfish pride, but a hidden pride that said, I'm going to try to please God, accomplish things for God with my own ability, my own charisma, my own talent, my own intellect. It's kind of a hidden pride that really is a trick of the devil to stop you from discovering what is possible for you. In other words, I was trying to accomplish the impossible through the possible. You know, in Canada, we're known for being friendly. And you can gather a bunch of people, maybe 100, 200, raise money, put your focus on building things and doing things. And you can accomplish quite a bit with 100, 200 people, even with 10 people. I've got two kids and a wife and two dogs. And when we're in unity, it's amazing what we can do just together as a family. Well, we have to be careful as a church that we don't take the natural path of unity, working together, trying to accomplish something for God without God being the one to direct us, without God placing us together. And this is what I would call hidden pride, where it's not because you want to be prideful. There's a message in the Bible that allows, if you interpret it a certain way, that allows your outward man to flourish, outward intellect to serve God, your outward ability, your natural man to serve God. Where in the New Testament, Paul tells us to mortify our natural man, the deeds of the flesh, not to partner with it, not to put it to work, but to mortify it. Mortify means put to death. Well, that's what I want you to really see, and I pray that you really see in these messages, that there's a hidden pride that allows your flesh to live and serve God with you. And you give purpose to your flesh, your outward man. You give security. You make it feel good because it's serving God, when really what we're supposed to be doing is mortifying the outward man. And the outward man is a part of you that's very personal. No one could do this for you. It's a decision and a walk and really a message that you have to allow the Holy Spirit to bring you to it. Because the price that you pay in mortifying the outward man is hard sometimes. It can be very, I call it trench warfare. It's very emotional when the outward man punishes you for not giving it what it wants. But if you're led by the Holy Spirit, and I believe that's probably why you're here, it's because you just became unsatisfied with regular church, unsatisfied with regular testimonies. And you begin to ask the same question that I did. The Holy Spirit sparked in you that question. Where is the New Testament church that I read in the Bible? Where is the miracles that I see? Where is this turning the world upside down church? And many people claim to be it. But if you look closely, you'll find out that many churches who claim to have revival just have a different interpretation of revival. You know, we added five people to the church. We're in revival. But there is a revival that we can believe for in the New Testament that says that Jesus told his disciples that the things that I do, you will do also, and greater than these. That is a part of revival that says, you know, if I can represent Jesus, then I should be seeing the same fruit that Jesus had. And I'm talking about the church, and I'm talking about me and you personally as well. That those are verses we hold on to, that we can be like Jesus. Well, your outward man will try to dress up like Jesus and act like Jesus. But it's made of this earth. It's made of this world. It doesn't have the capacity. And the message of transformation exposes the outward man for trying to serve God. And you'll find that there's many teachings and doctrine and denominations designed to please the outward man of people, to draw them into church, to draw them into service. But we're on a path of transformation, where we are to mortify the outward man. And the humility and the humbleness that does to you, it says, I really have nothing to offer God. I, Alan, have nothing really to offer God. And, you know, if you've heard me preach, you know that I'm a grace man at my heart, and I believe that God loves you. I believe that He is for you. He's proud of you. He's with you, always with you, never against you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But there could be a pride that says that I've earned that right. I deserve that right because of what I do or what I did. And see, that's the natural man trying to appease God. But there's a walk of the Spirit, your inner man, where you grow up in the inner man, in the knowledge of God, where what you grow up on is God Himself, the knowledge of God that came from God. Not the knowledge of man talking about God, but the knowledge of God that actually came from God Himself. That you and I can grow up in that knowledge and begin to live out of that knowledge. It's like the time I got asked to speak on TV all across Canada, and I was really excited. And I told God, I said, "You're seeing my faithfulness. You're promoting me. You're about to expose me all over Canada. I'm so blessed. You've seen my loyalty, my faithfulness, my service." And the Lord spoke to me and corrected me and said, No, I'm not promoting you. I'm promoting," He said, "you have enough truth in you that I want that to go out to people and of His truth. You have enough of my truth in you that I want that to go out to people." And I realized that He wasn't even promoting me, Alan. He was promoting Himself within me, and that I was just going along for the ride. See, transformation means, this message, if you listen to it, it means that you can change the world, and God can change the world through you. You can walk in all the things that Jesus did, but you can't just walk in the power. You got to also walk in the love and the holiness and the peace of God. And the message of transformation says there's only one place to get those things. That's from God. You can't just have them naturally. Like I say, if someone's 6'8" and tells me, who's 6', "Hey, you should be able to play basketball like me," that's a little unfair because he has a few extra attributes, natural attributes that I don't have. Like he's, 7 inches taller. In the spirit realm, everyone's equal. Everyone, no matter what your calling is, your past is, your family, your color, your culture, none of that matters. We are all equal, meaning that you can have as much of God as you want, and no one could have more of God than you, if you want. I'm going to start here in 1 Corinthians. And we're on a unique path where you're not allowing your outward man to take credit for what God is doing. And you'll find that many people may not like this message just because it exposes their pride. And it's not a selfish pride, it's a hidden pride that says, "I'm doing good," when really when they get to heaven, they may find out that they didn't do what God asked them to do. They do what my kids do. I call it the bait and switch. When you tell your kids to go do a chore, and they go do something else. And hopefully, they're hoping that you'll accept their other offering instead of doing what they said. I may want to try to quote to them sometimes that it's better to obey than to sacrifice. You know, that God has specific things for you to do day by day. And He wants to tell you what to do. And sometimes we try to give Him something else, hoping He'll accept that. Because what He's asking can seem hard. But let me tell you, it's not too hard. It's where the power of God lies. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll read verse 18 and 19. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So I want you to see here that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, it is the power of God. The power of God here, sometimes we want it to mean supernatural miracles, which it can mean, but that's not all it means. The power of God means the power like dynamite to blow up anything that's not God in your life. Sometimes you don't need a miracle as a broken bone healed. You need a miracle in your marriage, a miracle in your finances. You need to see the power of God change things in your life. And here he says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved or saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. There's a wisdom of this world. And unfortunately, I think a lot of it has crept into the church, masking as gospel. But it's not gospel. It's just a natural man trying to give his wisdom on how to serve God. I'm going to go over to chapter 2 here. And for time's sake, I'm just trying to do some passing review. Chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and preaching were not in persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. And now if you heard some of the other sermons on transformation, you know that I'm teaching here that there is a source of wisdom from this natural world that is generated by the intellect of man. Not even talking about demonic wisdom, just natural wisdom that can tell you how to succeed, how to be happy, how to be successful in life. But it's from this natural world. And there is also a wisdom, a source of wisdom that comes from God Himself, the mind of God. This is wisdom that changes the universe. This is wisdom that started in God's mind. And with that, it holds a power to change things. Now, here he says that I didn't come to you in human wisdom, that your faith would not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And then he says, verse 6, however, I speak wisdom among those who are mature. So when he says, I didn't come in human wisdom, he's not saying, you know, we're just to be intellectually stupid and dumb as a rock and just blindly believe God. There's some people who will argue, you faith people, you think we're not supposed to be intellectual, that we're just supposed to be blindly follow God in faith. And here it's not saying that. It's not saying you're supposed to be intellectually blank. It's saying that you're not to feed and find the wisdom from your natural intellect. But see, you have an inner man that's alive and born again, a spiritual mind that now has the capacity to know God. But as Peter said, that you're a newborn babe. That means when you're born again, the wisdom in that natural mind is empty. It must be built up by the wisdom of God. You can't transfer or get credit for the wisdom that you learned in the natural world and say, hey, I should be a little further along because I'm pretty smart in the natural. I got degrees and all those things. No, this wisdom must be built by the teaching that comes from God, the knowledge and truth that comes from God's mind itself. He says, however, we speak wisdom. So he's saying, I'm not saying we're not wisdomless. We're saying, I do speak wisdom, but it's to those who are mature. Now, if you underline, you can underline this wisdom and mature, because we're going to see that again later on in the book. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the ages for our glory. So there is a hidden wisdom, a wisdom of God that Paul says, I can speak to those who understand. Now, here's the difference. If I were to go to the university and say I was educated enough to be able to do a math class and teach university students math, and I went in and I did an hour-long session and taught the class, they could understand what I was saying because I was teaching at their level. They were mature enough and had passed all the teachings before university and graduated with the knowledge to know what I was talking about. You can't take a first-year class who's on a tour of the college and to bring them into the university class and sit them down You can't teach the same thing to them, not because they don't have the capacity. It's because they haven't practiced and grown in the knowledge yet to understand what you're talking about. So you have to teach at a lower level to the first grade students so they can understand a little bit of what you're saying, but really you're building them up to where eventually, 12 years from then, they'll be in university and be able to understand what you wanted to tell them all the time. The reason they couldn't understand is because they're not mature in their understanding in math. They have to grow up and learn and make the effort to grow in the knowledge of God. That's why when you pass third grade, there's not a great big celebration. I mean, your parents will give you a celebration, but there's not a cap and gown for third grade or fourth grade. You know, they wait until you graduate 12th grade because you don't quit after first grade and second grade. Say, I got it. Okay, I learned it all. Yeah, but you learned all that so you can go on to learn the next thing. And this is the wisdom of God is very much the same. It's very practical that your inner man is born again like a newborn baby and lacking in the knowledge, but wanting and desiring the knowledge of God. It's not interested in the knowledge of this world. It doesn't speak the language of this world. It only speaks in the language of God. And it is thirsting and hungering for the word, the truth, the wisdom, and the love of God. That's in you right now. That's your new man, the inner man. And the pattern for the church should be that as soon as you're saved, you start to fill that inner man with the knowledge, love, wisdom, peace of God. Because that is where revival is. That is where transformation takes place. Too much of the church is feeding the outward man's wisdom, saying things that encourage and entice the desires of the outward man. But the inner man is only interested in the things of God. You can't excite it. You can't get it excited about promises that aren't for God's will for your life. Many times people go to a church and someone tries to entice them in giving. Saying, how would you like to have a new house? Wouldn't you like God to give you a new house? How many like to have a thousandfold return? And I understand enough about giving that it's good to teach about giving. But much of the giving messages are about enticing the desires of the outward man. Where you'll find, as you transform, your inner man really only wants the things that God has for you. That's the only thing that gets it excited. And as you transform, you'll go through what I went through, where I became less motivated. I remember thinking, why am I not motivated like I used to? I used to be motivated to do this and do that. Why am I not motivated? And the Lord corrected me and said, no, it's not that you're not motivated. It's that the false motivations that were in you are being removed or mortified. That through praying in tongues, my inner man was building up in truth, that it began to expose the outward man's insecurity that I have, that was trying to earn God's love by serving him and doing things and giving him things, time and money and love and doing good works. And as I prayed in the Holy Ghost and that knowledge of God built up in my inner man, my new man began to know who I was in Christ. Yet my outward part of me was still intertwined with insecurity that you're not worthy, you're not good enough. And when I had built it up enough, the Lord picked a fight for me and said, let's kill that unworthiness in you. And emotionally, it was the hardest time of my life because my outward man was punishing me for, I was mortifying it. It was a part of me that was hidden in me that was really what was my motivator for serving God for most of my life. Why do you serve God so hard? Why are you so much driven to serve and to help and to give and to go win souls and pray for people? Why was I so driven? Because I was broken in my natural emotions. And I felt that I was so unworthy of God that I better be that good or else he would leave me behind for other people. But as the Lord began to teach my inner man who I was, through praying in the Holy Ghost mostly, I began to see life differently through the eyes of my inner man instead of my outward man. And then I began to not be as motivated to go do those things. Why? Because I was falsely motivated. I thought I was earning God's love. And really, I was doing all those things. All that service in the name of God was really to feed a brokenness in my natural man. All that doing was to feed an unworthiness, to make it feel worthy. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. I was able to build up my new man enough that I could put it over top of that and mortify that part of my natural brokenness. And then I find myself only being led by God instead of pushed by my insecurity or my brokenness inside of me. Paul here said, there is a wisdom that I could speak to those who are mature. So Paul's saying here, it's not that I don't speak in wisdom, not that I speak in like silly language, but it's wisdom only that I can speak to those who are mature. And he goes on to call them carnal. And real quick in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So when he says, I had to speak to you as not spiritual, but as the carnal. See, the way you interpret this, what do you mean by spiritual? Like they're off in the clouds. Hell, they're always worshiping God. Their eyes are always a little glassy and hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Is that the language of spiritual people? Hallelujah, glory to God. And carnal, when he says, I had to speak to you as carnal, did he say, hey, buddy, let's go down to the bar and let's go hit on some chicks? And did he throw in a few cuss words? And was that what he meant by speaking carnal and not spiritual? We know that's not what it was. The carnal speaking meant that I had to speak to you to where I could speak to enough to your natural man to at least understand the path to go on. And it's like someone who is a university professor teaching a class to a university class of 20-year-olds, and then being asked to go do a favor for a friend, going down to the elementary school the next day and teaching a class to a bunch of first graders, a bunch of young children. He had to teach what they could understand and comprehend. And Paul is saying that there is a spiritual understanding that you have that must be built up that's not the same as your outward man understanding. Your outward man understanding is different than your spiritual man understanding. When he says spiritual, I couldn't speak to it as to spiritual people. It's not saying as to those who are really able to move in the Holy Ghost and fall out under the power. He's saying that the spiritual man hasn't matured because you haven't invested enough time in growing up in the wisdom of God in your inner man. So I had to speak to you as carnal. Now, I told you to underline back in chapter 2, if you're underlining, the word mature and the word wisdom. However we speak wisdom to those who are mature, verse 6, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age are coming to nothing. And I'm going to hold that, and I want you to come to meet with me to 2 Corinthians. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians in a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which we've spent a lot of time on during this series. I'll just start in verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have, verse 7, this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, I used to think that this treasure was a gem, but if you look at the wording in the Greek, you'll find out it means more like a treasure chest, a holder of treasures. But we have this treasure chest inside of this earthen vessel is another vessel that can hold treasure, that the excellence of power may be of God and not of us. Now, this is the part where I want you to see. Can this be spoken of your life, of my life, of the church of America and the church of the world, the church in your neighborhood? Can this be spoken? That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. I was out with the children and we were at a little town country fair, which are much better than the big city fairs. And the kids were small and they were on little rides. And there's a small little church out there and they're handing out frisbees. And God bless them. They were out handing out frisbees, trying to have the church name on it, church address, and the time of the services, trying to do a good job and trying to, you know, share the gospel when needed. And every work like that, God loves and He appreciates and He blesses. But I want to put this line with that work. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. See, much of the church practices of going out and trying to win souls, of doing good to the neighborhood, doing good to help people, all of that is good work. It's a social work. But you'll find that the world, in the government, in different groups, do similar things. Raise money, raise help, to do a good work, to help if there's a hurricane, people of all sorts of religions and non-religion run down to go help their neighbors in need. And some do it in the name of Jesus, some do it in the name of another religion, some do it in just their own name. Here's my question. Every work, everything we do representing God, can we say that it is the excellence of the power of God and not of us? Or is it us in the name of God? And this is why transformation, this message, is very hard for people to understand. Because the enemy has done an amazing job of hiding this message with religion. Now, good religion in the sense that it gets people to heaven and it's a good work. But there's a message in here about laying your life down. There's a message here about mortification. And you have to decide, what do those words mean to you? What do you do with those verses? We have this treasure in earthen vessel, this treasure chest inside of this earthen vessel, that the excellence of power may be of God and not of us. Our famous verse in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Too many believers, in my opinion, are trying to fix up their outward man, their outward intellect. They're trying to get it to memorize scripture, their outward desires, emotions. They're trying to fix it up and dress it up like a Christian, when really it's supposed to be perishing day by day. We're supposed to be mortifying our outward man. Do not lose heart, even though your outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now stay with me. We're going to keep down this path, and we're going to Colossians chapter 2. And I'll start in verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you in those in Laodicea, and for as many have not seen me in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, knit together in love, in attaining to all riches of the fullness, assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. There is a knowledge that is from the spiritual realm, from God's mind, that has the power to change your life, change your future, to change your family, to change all circumstances. There is a knowledge that you can have. Transformation message says, You now have a place to hold that knowledge called your spiritual man, your inner man, your spiritual mind, is now a treasure chest that's empty, like a little child. It's empty. It does not have knowledge. You don't get credit for all the knowledge you learned in the natural world. You can't bring that into it because it only holds knowledge, wisdom that come from the mind of God Himself. You can get that knowledge as long as it originated in God's mind. You can get it from a preacher. You can get it from a prophecy. You can get it from the Word of God, of revelation of the Word of God. Especially, you can get it from praying in tongues from the Holy Spirit. Your inner man is a treasure chest waiting to be filled up with the knowledge of God. And that knowledge has power to change your world. That the hearts may be encouraged and knit together, verse 2, in love, and attaining to all riches of the fullness of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. In whom, from the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So here's how I want you to see him. Before you were saved, your inner man was dark. Your inner man had a nature of darkness. And your outward man was dark. And they were all together in unity. You got born again. You received Christ, the new nature. That new nature brought to life your inner man. Now your inner man is as righteous and holy as your new nature. And it now has the ability to learn truth from God. You couldn't before you were saved, just like the disciples couldn't understand Christ before they were saved. They had to get born again. They had to get that inner man alive and lit up by the new nature. So now your inner man is like a treasure chest that is not like the earthly vessel. Your outward man was left to darkness. It was left to death, meaning that you have an outward intellect and outward emotions, an outward man that isn't being rescued or saved. This body is being replaced. And until then, we are to mortify the desires and deeds and thoughts of the body, the outward man. Now that you're born again, you've accepted Christ, your inner man is now lit up by the new nature, and you have a spiritual mind that can understand the true things of God. That's why the Holy Spirit can now speak to you spirit to spirit. He can now download truth to you and speak from God to you directly, because you're learning it from your spiritual man, not your natural man. And your spiritual man has the ability to grow up in that knowledge. As that knowledge is built up, that's where your maturity comes. When that knowledge is built up and you enforce it, that's when the knowledge is built up. That's when you grow up in God. That's what Paul was saying to the Corinthian church. You're all a bunch of babes. You haven't applied and grown up your inner man and have taken over your outward man. And you found a way to serve God with the miracles and signs and wonders that was going on and still not grow up in the Spirit. You did it through your carnal man. But we want the excellence to be in power to be of God and not of our own ability. We have in the world many days to celebrate certain men. We have statues and cities named after men who've done tremendous things and have gotten together and built things and done things. And men together are like the Tower of Babel. They can build just about anything, but they cannot replace God or cannot replace the power of God. The power of man, even as a million people in unity, cannot replace the very power of God. And that's the pride of the world, trying to do life and win life by their own ability. And unfortunately, some of that idea has crept into the church, because it doesn't make you mortify your flesh. It allows you to serve God through your outward man. But transformation demands that you build up the inner man and you mortify the outward man. And the knowledge of God is not you fixing the natural man, making it understand God. It's making the natural mind bow its knee to the truth that's inside of your inner man, your spiritual man. Verse 3, in whom are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So you have wisdom and knowledge now that can go inside of your inner man. God is like a treasure chest, full of love, His love, full of His peace, full of His knowledge, His wisdom, His truth. And you have in you a spiritual mind that is, when you're saved, is a treasure chest also, but it's empty. And it's longing to be filled up with truth that comes from God. So there has to be a way of taking the truth from God's mind and depositing it into your mind. I could take my dog, who's a different species than me. They have different breeds. We have a couple of different dogs, different breeds. I can take my two little dogs and I could hire the greatest piano player in the area, pay him $100, maybe $200 an hour because he's so good. And he could spend 1 hour a week teaching my dogs how to play the piano. For a year, I can hire this guy. And maybe $100 is cheap for a real good piano teacher. But in 1 year, you would think that him being so gifted and so talented, he does his own recitals, people love him all over the country. In 1 year, he should be able to teach my dog how to play the piano, don't you think? $100 a shot? You know, 52 weeks in a year, that's $5,200. Come on, buddy. My dog should be able to do something. I can get all the friends over and we're going to watch our dogs play the piano. Well, I'd be laughed at because the dog will never be able to play the piano, even with the greatest teacher in the area. Well, that's what you need to understand about your outward mind. It can never understand the wisdom of God. God is smart. He's incredible. But your natural man is a different species. So it can never comprehend the truth of God. Many of us have ran off with the scripture saying, I believe that scripture be true, but what we're trying to do is get our natural man to believe it. It doesn't have the ability to. You must build up the spiritual man, because the inner man, now that you're born again, is righteous and holy like God. It's not divine, but it is in the same image of God, because it was through the image of Christ that you were born again. You cannot believe away the flesh. You must mortify the flesh. Just like you can't simply identify with your inner man and leave it there. You have to build up and mature the inner man in the knowledge of God. So I'm saying all this to help us see the full picture, that you have an outward man and an inner man. It may seem like, well, you know, when I first started serving God, I didn't want to learn. I just wanted to be accepted. So I'd hear sermons and I'd say, okay, that's good. Got it. Then run off. The reason I've been going repetitive and over is because there is an image in here that you must get in you to understand transformation. Once you see transformation, you're never going to quit believing that all things are possible. The impossible becomes possible because you're walking with God. I'm going to go our last verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. While you're turning there, I'm going to read to you again from chapter 2 what Paul said, because we're in the same book. So you're going to see that there's a theme running through all of 1 Corinthians here. I'm going to read for you while you're turning to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read to you out of chapter 2. Verse 4, in my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. So that's what we're underlining, if you're an underliner, that there's a wisdom that can be spoken to those who are mature. But it's not the wisdom of this age, so it's not wisdom of human wisdom of this earth, which has come to nothing. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. So just like two professors can get together and speak at a higher level because they've educated in that area, that's what Paul is saying, that I need you. If I can speak to you plainly about what God has shown me, I need you to grow up in the wisdom of God so you can understand what I'm saying. Otherwise, I have to speak to you in a carnal language. I can't speak to the fullness of God because you can't accept it yet. You have to grow. Wisdom and knowledge grows like first grade to second grade to third grade. So there's a wisdom of God that is mature that can be received from those who are mature. Now we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to show you just a little bit, just enough to get you thinking more. I can teach so much here, but I want to try my best to be on course here. We'll start in verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding. In other words, five words of what the same language, that I may teach others, than 10,000 words in a tongue. So Paul, I think, here has given us an idea that how much praying in tongues is required to produce the knowledge of God in you. 10,000 words in tongues can give you five words to help other people, maybe. But here's a verse I want you to look at. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. Remember what we read in 1 Corinthians 2? That I speak wisdom to those who are mature. Now Paul says here, brethren, do not be children. Don't stay children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. It says men in the King James, but the right word is mature, a full-grown man. In understanding. Now I want you to stop here because this word understanding is key, and it goes right along with what we read in 2 Corinthians about the treasure chest. The word understanding here is only here in the whole New Testament, in the whole Bible. That word in the New Testament for understanding is only in this verse. It's not the same word used for understanding in other places in the New Testament. The word is pronounced phrein in Greek, and it's the same place that they get the word for diaphragm. It's the same root word, like the mid. And the idea was here in this word, it doesn't mean just understanding. It means like how someone might say, you know, I don't think out of my head, I think from the heart. Someone might say, I don't follow my intellect. I take direction from my heart, my diaphragm, that part of me. And really, when you understand transformation, it makes total sense. That, like, what do you mean you're thinking out of your heart? Like, does your heart think? Well, there's a wisdom in your inner man. And again, it's not saying that you don't think. It's where you think from. There is a wisdom in your inner man. That Paul is saying here, that wisdom, that place, your inner man, that is where your spiritual wisdom goes, and that's where you should mature in. And you only mature in it by adding wisdom, love, characteristics of Christ into the inner man. And as this builds up, and as you acknowledge it and give into it and overtake the outward man, that is maturity. You have the ability to not be children in understanding. And that understanding is not talking about wisdom you can get in this world. You can't get it from a university. You can't even get it from a Bible college. Not necessarily. Some people think spiritual wisdom is like talking about God. But that's not spiritual wisdom. You can talk about God in the natural too. It's talking about the spiritual truths that originated from God's mind. Where do they go? That treasure chest full of God's wisdom about you, your future, your life, your calling is looking to go to a place in your inner man where this kind of understanding, where we don't stay babes. Many Christians, like I, served God, went to church, did our best to live right, did our best to do good, to feed the poor, to win souls. Did our best, always trying to serve God, but never grew up in the spiritual man. We had spiritual experiences. There's moments where I was touched by God, where I wept, where I fell out under the power. All those are wonderful and necessary and so important. But there's something also important that we should not do without, and that is growing up in the wisdom of God and the understanding, this understanding, which is spiritual based, which is a wisdom of God going into your inner man. How do I get that wisdom? I hate to just say it again and again. Go pray in tongues. The knowledge of God is downloaded from the Holy Spirit to your inner man, your spirit. From the mind of God to your spiritual mind, from His treasure chest to your treasure chest. There's wisdom there that will build up so much that your new man will begin to say, you know what, all those thoughts that you had about yourself, they're not true. All those thoughts that motivated you to give, serve God, they're carnal. And you found out, like I did, boy, here I thought I was mature, but it was immaturity in me that was causing me to act the way I was acting. To serve God the way I was serving. God has a specific plan for you, a purpose. And His plan for you isn't small. It's to walk into the impossible. But it's going to cost you. It means that you have to go to war as the Holy Spirit leads you with your outward man. Your outward man will try to lead you, but you have another boss called God in your life, and He will tell you how to live, where to go. But the only place you'll understand all of that is with your inner man. Let me encourage you. Go pray in tongues. Go worship. Read your word. And trust that as that knowledge is being built up inside of you, all the things that you wonder about, you question about, all the fights, how is God going to use me? This is how it all comes forward. Too many of us spent years begging God, trying to manipulate God, trying to get God to use us. And finally, we gave up and started to do it ourselves in the name of God. Well, if God won't get me and put me to work, I'll do it for Him. That was me out of my unworthiness, feeling rejected because God wouldn't move me forward. Where the source of approval comes as my new man, my inner man, is built up in the knowledge of God. Pray in tugs. That's what happens. Worship God. The love of God grows inside of you. Do those things and watch what comes forward in you. Watch how things, your future, will change. You'll go from living in the possible to living in the impossible. That's what God's plan for you and for me and really for His church. I pray that these messages on transformation have sparked interest in you, that there's more, have challenged you to press in more to God, have had you question maybe where you're at and encourage you to press in more to the spiritual part of you. But I believe in you and I know God believes in you, and there's wonderful things, turning the world upside down things in your future. Let's do this. We have enough good people out there. We have enough good Christians out there. We have enough nice churches out there. Somebody's got to go further. Why not you? Let's do it. Let's press into God, let's transform, and let the power of God, the excellence of the power of God, be what the world experiences. And not our love, not our works, but Jesus Himself through you. That, I believe, is where revival lies. Thank you for spending time with me again, and I love you. God bless you.